But thank you very much for that number, Alan and Jocelyn. And you know, this is the first time that you heard them, right? It's a duet. And thank you for that. And you know, we need people out there in the audio visual, but the requirement is you got to sing first, like Alan. So if you have volunteers, just call the head elder. All right. So you see the title? What does that mean to you? It's a prescription, right? I chose a catchy title so that at least we'll make one be aware of what's coming up here. So when we say prescription, that's the end of the visit. If you go to a doctor's office, that's the end of the visit, meaning this is the final thing we need to do. But it presupposes that something happened before that. That means there was a diagnosis. That means there was a history. There was a problem. So we're going to reverse engineer this and see what we can come up with. So this is all about health lecture. I consider it a lecture. I'm not a preacher. So before I do that, I'll give credit to the following people and resource. Of course, the Bible is the number one source, right? I would like to give credit to Dr. Neil Barnard, Dr. Neil Nedley, the Aspen Institute, Harvard University, Cincinnati University, Loma Linda University, AHS 1 and AHS 2. I'll explain to you what that means, AHS, okay? So we'll start with the how this whole thing start. Does it work at all? It's... Is it on remote? There we go. All right. So we start from the beginning of human race. From all we know, from the beginning of this creation, we see how the lifestyle or lifespan of men evolved from the high to the lowest. If you see, who was the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah. How old was he? Right there, 969. 969, that was an error. Followed by, of course, there are some other people in the Old Testament that were 900 plus, but let's go down to Noah. Noah was 930, and Shem was 600. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the two, we do not know how they died. Only Shem, 600 years. Now, if you see the difference, there's a big difference between 900 and 600. Tell us what happened. The flood. So, okay, let's see. What happened after the flood? There was not enough food, right? The right food is no longer there. So that's why people were allowed to eat something else. Could it be the food only? That's the question. Could it be the food only? Lifestyle? Well, that's part of the food. Some people have speculated it could have been the oxygen. At that time, the world was perfect, more oxygen, and so they lived better lives. But if you study oxygen, oxygen has to be just right. It has to be right there, 21% all the time. If you go beyond that, what happens? You get too much oxygen. What does oxygen do to you? It'll kill you. It's toxic. If you have too much oxygen when you were born, what happens? You get blind. You become blind. So oxygen is not the answer. Some people have proposed it must be the genes. It must be the genes. Now let's re-examine that quickly. The genes of Adam down to Noah, you know, there's so much good genes there. What happened after the flood? The cutoff is the flood. Noah belonged to the old generation. Shem, Ham, and Japheth belong to the transition period. Did the three sons of Noah have the same genes as Noah? Of course, they did, right? What happened after Shem, Ham, and Japheth's family? The gene pool shrunk. It shrunk tremendously. So there were so much good genes before that, and then after this, it's now limited to six people. Why six, not eight? Well, Noah doesn't belong to that. He belonged to the old generation. So Shem, Ham, Japheth, now they have the genes, still good genes. They're supposed to have lived 900 also. But what happened? He lived only 600 years. Could be the genes? Still possible, right? What about diet? Nutrition? What happened after the flood? Now here is, this is what God told them to eat before the flood. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree and in which is the tree is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, for you it shall be meat." Now what happened after the flood? Genesis 1:29? That's not the one. Let's see. Nope. I'll read it. Genesis 9, verse 3. After the flood, God said, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." What did he say? Every moving thing. Anything that moves, you can eat. That's strange, right? It doesn't sound right. Or maybe there was a mistake somewhere. So what happened, if you look at that, what happened after Noah's flood? Now you can eat anything that liveth. Noah was 930. Shem was 600. What happened after Shem's generation? It went even down. There was a precipitous drop from 600 down to the time, you know, down to Noah's time when it was only about, Moses' time when it's only about 120. It's still the genes? Must be the diet. Must be the diet. Because at that time you can eat anything that moves. But God said, no, no, no. During the time of Moses, he said, let's classify this into unclean and unclean. Unclean. So that was the statute given by God to Moses and the Israelites at that time. And you found that in Leviticus 11. God said, "Behold, I have given you." No, why is that? I'm doing that. There we go. And he said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, your God, and will do that which is right in your sight, in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you." So the children of Israel, during the time of Egypt, they eat everything. From Noah's time up to Egypt, there was no discrimination there. Anything that moves. When they went out of Egypt into the wilderness, they were given the commandment, these are the clean and the unclean. So what's the difference between lifespan during Moses' time and our time? Very, very little. Look at that. Moses' time, 120, which is, you know, because that's the age of Moses when he died. Practically, the age of the Israelites at the time, the lifespan was only 80. That's the same age as we have today. right? The same age as we have today. But you look further. Israelites, time 80. In the 1900s, what happened to the lifespan? 48. Way down. Why? What happened? What happened? There were so much diseases, plagues, catastrophe, disaster, everything, everywhere. And at the same time, there was World War I and wars here and there. So it dropped precipitously down to the 48s only. In the 1950s, that's when antibiotic was discovered, right? So people are living a little bit longer. They're no longer dying so much from the infection. After 1950, 2000, year 2000, not so long ago, what's the lifespan? 77. It went up. Between 2000 and the projected 2040, what's the difference? 1 year. And that's the effect of what? Modern science, technology. You can say every advance there is in science. It increased the lifespan by what? 1 year. 1 year. That's the problem. Because the Lord has said, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. It's not talking only about the Egyptians, but everyone else there that have the same food. Now look at this. I don't know if you're familiar with America's top killers. You see that? Heart disease. Heart disease. Heart attack. Heart failure. Anything that has to do with the heart. Cancer. Lung disease. COPD, emphysema. People who work in the mines. Accidents. Stroke, dementia, diabetes. If you look, these are written in decreasing order. The topmost killer is the heart problem. Now you look at the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, except for the accident. No, actually, all of them, except for the accident, what is the underlying factor? What is the underlying factor? Nutrition and lifestyle. Nutrition and lifestyle. We will not talk about everything about lifestyle. We will focus only on the diet. On the diet. How many diets do we know? There's a lot more than this page can contain. But we'll mention a few. The most popular in America is the Western diet. That's what we eat over here. Followed by ketogenic diet, which is the newest fad right now. What about Atkins diet? It's been there for a few years. Mediterranean diet, it's still there. It's been that way for a long time. Zone diet, you know, whatever that means. Vegetarian diet. You're familiar, right? If you're Seventh-day Adventist, you must be familiar with this. Vegan. What's the difference between vegetarian and vegan? I see a lot of different answers. Strictly, a vegetarian has no meat at all. Strictly speaking. Plant-based. In other words, a strict vegetarian is a vegan. But there is a study done by AHS. You know what AHS means? Adventist Health Study. There were two studies done about health, lifestyle. Adventist Health Study 1 consisted of 36,000 people. 35,000 people. Seventh-day Adventist. This was done because why is the lifespan of Seventh-day Adventists and the health of Adventists different from the rest of the world, from the rest of American community? So they studied this. Several thousand hospitals, several thousand communities were involved. 35,000 Seventh-day Adventists in California. And not California only, but the whole United States. 35,000. What did they find? What did they find? The result is what we would expect as we are Seventh-day Adventists. That the cancer rate is one-third lower. Pancreatic cancer. Diabetes is lower. Weight is lower. Heart disease is lower. Dementia and stroke is lower. In other words, everything that will make you so sick is much lower in the health study number one. Now, 35,000 people, that's a lot of people to study. It's a lot of people to study. After several years, you know, the medical community was not convinced. That's a fluke. 35,000, still a fluke. They were not happy. Let's study more. So, Adventist Health Study came into being. Number two, how many people were studied at this time? Double? Double the size? What about triple the size? 96,000 Seventh-day Adventists. 96,000. That's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. It involved Canada, United States, and then they categorized the different Seventh-day Adventists into different diets. Let's see. There we go. Seventh-day Adventists are classified into non-vegetarians, and the vegetarians are there on the screen. The vegans, which means no food, animal-based product at all. Zero. Lacto-ovo-vegetarian, meaning they use eggs and milk. Lacto means only milk. Ovo means only eggs. Partial vegetarian, those people who mostly don't eat meat, but at least they do once a week. Once a week, meat, chicken, anything that has to do with animal products. Did I say cheese? Cheese is part of that. Now let me tell you the cheese. Cheese is as bad as the red meat. Why? Because it's 70% saturated fat. So the study has been shown that if you eat a lot of cheese, you'll be in the same category as the non-vegetarian. So partial vegetarian, but why is there a distinction between vegans and vegetarians? After some time, the veganism has evolved into a different meaning. Veganism means I want to protect the planet. I want to protect the planet. I don't want the animal to suffer. I don't want any animals to be butchered with inhumane ways and so many things else. So when you're a vegan, you're not only a vegetarian, but you also try to protect the planet. But we'll see what the Adventist Health Study showed. The result is not surprising. It is the same thing. There was a reduction in weight, significant weight, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, dementia, stroke. I was listening to a lecture of Dr. Neil Barnard one time that was more than a year ago in Houston. We had a conference of about 2,000 doctors there, and he is one of the, I would say, the most impressive speaker of all. And he started his lecture with this health and nutrition. Finally, he came up to the Adventist health study, and what? It perked up my ear. And said, this is a particular group of people whose emphasis is on nutrition and, you know, and health. And Adventists are known to be good with what? Nutrition. They avoid tobacco. They avoid caffeine. They avoid alcohol. And they espouse exercise. Adventists are very good when it comes to tobacco, alcohol, and caffeine avoidance. But when it comes to diet, it's a little different. We have varied group of people who have semi-vegetarian to non-vegetarian. That's why Adventist community has been a good group to study the health. So why? You know what, there are many other studies that actually support this vegetarian diet. Dr. Neil Barnard has actually done himself many other studies about that in different communities from every state. Not all states, but a lot of states. And he has proven the same thing. That's why he became a vegetarian. And after his lecture in Houston, I said, you know what, I've heard about this over and over again. I think it's time. And that time, I became a vegetarian. Not completely vegan, but very seldom do I do eggs, milk, practically none. So now, I just feel good. It's because if you don't do it, it will never happen. It will never happen. But there are other reasons why people avoid meat. When I say meat, red meat, chicken, seafood, anything that has a flesh. But it also includes cheese and milk and butter. What are the other reasons why we need to avoid animal-based products? If you talk about what you see in the grocery, there are what we call farm animals, right? Farm animals. Cows, sheep, goat, chicken. Most of the meat of America comes from what? Meat, red meat, beef, or chicken? You don't know. Chicken, maybe? Yeah. In 1980s, that was the peak of the cow or the beef consumption. After that, it started to drop. On the other hand, the chicken consumption went up like this. As of this year, the consumption of chicken in America is 94 pounds per person per year. 95 pounds of chicken per person per year. That's a lot of chicken. And what are those chicken fed with? Look at that. Why? Why do they put antibiotics into the chicken? Or the cows, or the goats, or the sheep. Because they get sick. They are confined in one place. So they get sick very often. They have to have a veterinarian to make sure that antibiotic is given and they get in good health. But sickness is not alone when it comes to industry. They have to put in hormones. What does the hormone do? Make sure that they grow fast. Growth hormone. They grow fast. Growing fast, meaning more business, more money. What about chemicals that enhance the weight? I look over that kind of chemicals, you know what they put in there. It's very difficult to pronounce, so I didn't put it there. Some of them have been recalled because they've been proven they cause cancer. Some are still there. Why the FDA doesn't want to make so much change in their policy? And the FDA is funded by the big industries, right? What about insecticides, pesticides, fungicides? And this is the worst part. They're being fed with refuse from the butcher house, meaning some of these animals eat their own meat. I've read a documentary about this. In Norway, they have a firm farm fish area enclosed. And this guy who is an investigator about, you know, what they do think, how they do things, he took a picture or a film of how these people maintain their fish farms. And at one time, he documented these people in hazmat suit. Hazmat, meaning very toxic, probably exposure. That's what he did. And they dumped how many kilos of these chemicals to kill the parasite on the fish. Parasite, you don't see that? You don't see it on the list. To kill the parasites. In other words, there's other things that are not included on the list. But to kill the parasites is just one of them. I went to a documentary in Vietnam. They did the same thing. Chemicals into the fish farm wearing hazmat suit. Where do the chemical go? Into the flesh. Where do they export the fish? America. Hallelujah. Where does it end? In the groceries. When it's packaged pink, very good packaging, it looks attractive and it's cheap, I'll go for that. If you go with a non-farm fish, it's more expensive, I cannot afford it. Is it worth doing that and risking your health? That's the problem. So is there any proof in the Bible that says, you know, healthy eating makes a difference? Daniel 1, 12 to, actually starts from 11 to 16. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youth who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Remember that, 10 days only. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance, fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their foods and the wine and the they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Proof. It's right there in the scripture. We can talk about so many illnesses. Diabetes. I see a lot of diabetes every day. A lot of diabetes. And people say, you know, it's about the carbs. It's about this and that. According to internet, it's the carbs. Is diabetes caused by carbs? Nobody answered me. Diabetes, it's either could be caused by your genes or because of your lifestyle. And if you have the traits already as a diabetic person, all it needs is just a lifestyle change, and there you are. You become a diabetic. It's like when you have the genes, your gun is loaded. And then you change your lifestyle, you eat this, you eat that, you pull the trigger. And you're done, right? So in other words, there's a lot of things that you can do to prevent this. Now, Japan's population have been studied very well. Why do they have less heart problems? Why did they have less cancer, less illnesses until 1980s? Right there, at the top. After that, it went down. What happened to the population of Japan? Any idea? The American diet crept into the Japanese market. The first thing you would see, McDonald's. Somebody said, a professor in one university said, if you see the golden arch, that means it's about time to enter the pearly gates. That's not my statement. That's not my statement. I just borrowed it, and it makes sense. It may be funny, but it makes sense. So, the good news. The good news for America is that almost everyone now is discovering the virtue of good diet. There's change. There's hope. So more and more people are now going vegetarian, including celebrities. Have you noticed that? More and more celebrities are going vegetarian. Meat consumption is going down. And even in our church. Few years ago, I haven't seen any vegetarian in this church. How many vegetarians do we have now? Raise your finger. I know of a few people, I think maybe a dozen of you, including me. What about vegans? Ham. There's fewer people. What about non-vegans? Stand up. You can tell majority are not. So is it because we don't know? Or we don't care? We're ignorant? And the advice given from the Bible really doesn't matter. This is another change that has come to America. USDA. What is that? United States Department of Agriculture. Right? They have even made changes in how they recommend the diet. It used to be the pyramid. And in the pyramid, you see meat, milk. Now, what is the current food chart of the USDA? It consists only of four things. Four things only. And it doesn't even contain the meat anymore. No meat. It just said protein. You have to be careful. You know, they're funded by big industries. So it contains meat. And then there is a side note, small word, milk. Milk. Got milk? Food industry is very powerful. Eggs, it's not even on the list. But people, industry, in the milk industry, the egg industry and the beef, they have the money. They are the richest. At one time, they studied about the eggs. 11 big studies. The conclusion is, eggs, vegetarian, doesn't matter. This guy, Dr. Neil Barnard, something is not right. He looked in all the papers. In all the papers. And he found the same pattern. All of them were funded by the industry. And if you look at the real conclusion, the conclusion was different than what the media is saying. Different than what the media is saying. You can either say favorable or unfavorable. Except for one, which was kind of iffy. The rest were unfavorable. What did the media tell you? It doesn't matter. You listen to the TV, you look online, and if you're a believer that X doesn't matter, then you got your own philosophy. The problem with the internet is that you can look anywhere in the internet and you will find what you want. You'll find what you want. I've seen people who come to my office and say, "This is what I got. I have the same symptom as my neighbor, my friends, same symptom. And all of this, I know what my diagnosis is, and here's the treatment." I said, "Really? Why don't you go back to Mr. Google? Ask for a prescription." You know what? It's very funny, but it's very common. Very common. That's why whenever you advertise in the TV, it will tell you, "Ask your doctor that this is good for you." They already influence the consumer. That's the problem. So, is there a change for us? 2019, beginning of their January, is always a time of what? Resolution, right? Change. Resolution. I'll give you a survey about resolution. 2019, latest. What is the survey about the resolution among 50 states? What do they want to do? Okay. Johnny said, lose weight. 20% of all the population. Remember 50 states? What's 50? Okay, the other one is exercise to get in shape. 18%. That's 38. How many states? 50. More than half, right? And the rest is minor, potpourri of other things. And then 9% save money. So the top two, majority, has to do with what? Diet and lifestyle. Lifestyle. There was a certain person in the early 1900s, late 1800s, that has started this philosophy about what's the best way to be healthy. It's exactly, he just reiterated what's in the Bible. Fruits, grains, fruit, legumes, and all those things. And avoid tobacco, alcohol, caffeine. And then what else? You got to have enough rest. You got to have exercise. You got to have water. Everything. Who was that person more than 100 years ago? She must be a prophet, right? She must be a prophet. That was Ellen White at the time. So, that was the problem. So, we need to see where we go with this resolution. People want to lose weight. People want to be healthy. According to the Proverbs, if you don't have a resolution, where there's no vision, people perish. Starts with that. So why do resolutions fail? You could mention a bunch of reasons. One of the reasons is that there is no realistic goal. There's no roadmap. You procrastinate. And I know some people in the church who are good with that. Procrastinate. If you don't get it done right away, you'll forget. Nothing gets done. Now, there was a group of people in the early times. They were brought out from Egypt into the wilderness, into the promised land. You know the group of people? Israelites. How long does it take for Israel to travel from Egypt to Israel or to the promised land? Tell me. You can count with your fingers. It takes only a few days. It takes only a few days. If you travel by bus, okay, 2 days. That's it. It took them 40 years. Why? Preparing, you got it. Preparation. How many days did Jesus spend in the wilderness? To what? Prepare for the ministry. So was that the reason why they spent 40 years in the wilderness? Now, my question for you is, how much meat there was in the wilderness? Now, remember, Israelites are shepherds. They have livestock. If they eat all the livestock, that means, you know, in the next few days, there will be no more livestock. What about vegetation? Was there any garden over there? Somebody was doing agriculture? Desert? I happened to pass by that route last year. We traced the, you know, the journey of the Israelites from Egypt to the Sinai, to Mount Nebo, and into the Promised Land. And after you cross the Suez Canal from Egypt, it's nothing but desert. You pass by through the Red Sea on the side, and you see mountains here on the other side. As far as your eyes can see, it's all brown. It's all brown. Can livestock thrive with that? That was my first question. And then I look, why are there shepherds? Why are there sheep? Why are there goats? That was interesting to me. When I look, yeah, there are. What do they eat? They're all brown. Well, they're very resilient, you know, animals. They eat anything. They eat anything. But let's say they don't have meat. You know, vegetables, they cannot thrive alone. So somebody has to give them the food. And what was that? The manna. What is manna? Made of meat? Soy milk? Soy products? Animal? No, it's a vegan diet. It's a vegan diet. Vegetarian, purely vegetarian. In preparation to do what? To enter the Promised Land. We enter the Promised Land. So, if you imagine how many people were there in the Israelite camp. When they get out of Egypt, how many people? 600,000 people. Only foot soldiers. What about their families? How many? Now, if you factor in how many families they have estimated it, it would be around 2.5 million people. 2.5 million people to feed in the wilderness? Come on. Does it make sense? So, if you were to calculate the amount of food that this Israelite will eat, they were given manna, how many? How much manna they were given? One omer per person a day. One omer. What is one omer? It's the equivalent of two quarts volume. Multiply that, you know, given the number of Israelites, how many tons of food do they need? 1,500 tons of food a day. That's the equivalent of two freight trains, each 1 mile long, and that's how much food they would need. And how much water? A lot of tanks. You go to the wilderness, do you see water? There's none. That's why you go out there 2 days, you'll be so thirsty. The sun is searing hot. When you're out there in the wilderness, you evaporate water very quickly. In a matter of 6 hours, you'll be so thirsty. They spent 2 days, 3 days, what happened? They complain. And now here we go. Complaining, okay, I'll give you water. And Moses, that's when the downfall of Moses was. He disobeyed God because he was so angry with the people. I struck the rock, and now you got water. And that water actually is still there. You know, but it's outside Sinai area. So this is the current state of affairs right now. Death. Cause of death, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, lung disease, kidney disease, dementia, tobacco, alcohol. We've heard this over and over again. His prescription is what? The solution is Genesis 1 verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed you will eat. It will be for you for meat. So Seventh-day Adventists, we have a different belief. But the thing is, Seventh-day Adventists don't believe that we can eat our way to heaven. We cannot exercise our way to heaven. But what's the difference in the lifestyle between, in general, Seventh-day Adventists and the rest of the world? A difference of about 7 to 10 years longer. What did I tell you? The difference, if you increase the science and the technology, and how much it will increase your lifespan? The projection was until 2040, 1 year. Are you still convinced or not? So, you've made your decision, you got your resolution. What next? Change, right? Change. What it takes to make a change? What does it take to make a change? Trusting God? But most people don't do that. It takes some bad experience, painful experience, before that happens. And then when it happens, that's when you say, okay, now I have a heart attack, I need to be careful with my diet. I have a stroke, I have to be careful with my diet. It takes a painful experience. Most of the time. There are some people who are motivated, they will do it anyway without any of this, you know, painful experience. I'll tell you a story about a guy who has a change of heart. Not because he ate something and didn't do that. His name is J.C. James Caviezel. You recognize that name? James Caviezel? How many knows about him? One, two, three. Few people. Do you remember Passion of Christ? Yes. No, he was the Christ in that movie. When he was recruited to be the actor, it took him some time to accept that. But after he did, there was no turning back. Mel Gibson was the director, and Mel Gibson was saying, oh, I don't want you to do this. I mean, you're not fit to do this. You're not fit to do this. He said, I will not be responsible if you will have no work after this. He said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So once you have made your commitment to do something, what happens? The enemy will start working. It will start working. At the outset of the film, dislocated his shoulder. Dislocated his shoulder. And then he dislocated his shoulder again. And he dislocated the same shoulder over and over again. While he was carrying the cross, he had pneumonia. And then when he was on the cross, not only that he had pneumonia, he had almost a heart attack. We call acute coronary syndrome. And he didn't have any energy. He didn't have any way to really proceed. The doctor that was there told him, you need to quit now. You need to quit now. Mel Gibson was saying, you know, you quit. You're going to die. You're going to die. His shoulder was dislocated. He got pneumonia, and he got acute coronary syndrome. Acute coronary syndrome means it's a spectrum of diseases from real heart attack to angina, meaning almost having a heart attack, and of course the mild chest and, you know, chest pain and so on. So he was there close to that very moment of having a heart attack. He was there on the cross. Shoulder was dislocated. And what happened? The soldiers brought the cross down, and then from here, left it, boom. How did it feel on your shoulder when that happened? The guy who interviewed him said, did it hurt? He didn't answer that. He said, I saw Christ. I saw Christ. And not only that, he, during the scourging, you know, things didn't go well with that. During the scourging, the Roman soldier actually accidentally whipped him and made a 14-inch gas on his chest. And it had his soda up. When he was there on the cross, he was black and blue. You think it was makeup? He said there was no makeup. And he said, no, I will not stop. I will not quit. Because if I quit, then it will be to no avail. In other words, his work will be in vain. But if he continues then, and if he dies, then more people will actually see the film. Question is, does it have to be that way? Be painful to make a change? He was a changed man after this. And on top of this, during the actual crucifixion, the clouds came down toward him. And there were several people in front of him. And when the lightning struck, now these are artificial lightning, 250,000 volts, boom, just like that. And there was a loud bang, and he said, I felt like a howitzer hit me. There was a big white cloud exploded, and the people in front of him just fell down. And he felt himself like he was dissociated from his body, and he saw himself from a distance. So he went through that terrible experience. But from the beginning, he was a changed man already. When we say we need a new resolution, are we serious? I want to do this because I bet you next year we'll do the survey, we'll have the same result. We'll have the same result. But does it take? You know, does it take something painful to make a resolution? But thank God, there is somebody who will steer us in the right direction. There's a shepherd out there who will give us the green pasture and give us the optimal health. So, I don't know if you got everything, because I have only, you know, few things really that needed to be delivered to you. I said, I'm not a preacher, but I got the message at least. If you got a few of them, I'm happy enough. Whatever it takes for us to change our lifestyle, because the idea is not to cure diseases. The idea is to live an optimal life. Optimal life meaning if you have the best health, your mind can think. Your body can function properly. Because Seventh-day Adventists believe the body is the temple of God. And if you defile the temple of God, that means your mind, your body cannot work properly. So, if you are convicted with what you believe right now, you know, all I need is invite for you to stand up, and then we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, who created us, healed us, and will resurrect us, give us the strength to follow through on our promise. And your promise that you will not give us the diseases as long as we adhere to your covenant. Keep us in the book of your life, in the book of life. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.